God is good all the time. God is good. So, hey, welcome to Bethel this morning, man. We're excited that you're here. We're excited to be here with you. And I'm kind of like Connor. What a cool thing, man. All right, can I level with y'all a little bit? I'm just level with you, okay? It's been like a rough week for me. So, like, I got this horse, and he ain't no really good horse, but he's like my best horse, and I love that horse. And he colicked and he died this Monday morning. And so, Katie Grace, where is she at? She plays dirty pool. Katie Grace brought me a picture of me dragging calves on my horse and laid it in my office a while ago. And so before I came out here, and she wrote me a card, and she said, I heard they have good stalls in heaven. Can't wait to see you and Coog cowboy together again one of these days. So I've been crying, and that's why they're bringing these Kleenex up here, my friends. They're great friends. You know what I'm saying. So anyway, I'm glad to be here. Love being here with you guys. God is good. Can I hear a good amen? So we're in week number two of our new sermon series that we're talking about. The title of that sermon series is Exceed. Everybody shout Exceed. Exceed is a word that means this. It means to go beyond the bounds or to go beyond the limits, to surpass or to excel. How many of you know that's what God does in our life? He always does more. He always does greater. He always excels what we had thought or had hoped or prayed that he would do. Our main scripture is Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20, and that scripture says this, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Last week I testified to how God had exceeded in my life and in my marriage and in my family. And I testified to how God had exceeded at Bethel Assembly over here. And how God had just kept doing great and mighty things and people getting saved and marriages being healed and just God doing what God does. How many know there's power in testimonies, y'all? Revelation 12:11 says we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And so I shared my testimony with you last week. And so this week, we are going to hear the testimony of one of our staff members here at church. You know, how many of you know we think church is this? Show up, sing for 20 minutes, listen to preaching for 30 minutes, and then we're out of there. But how many of you know church really is more than singing and worshiping and preaching? Church is when God's people come together to worship and glorify God. Church is when people show up and they go, you know what? We're going to encourage one another and we're going to sharpen one another. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25 that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so today we're going to hear some testimony. God has been great to Bethel Assembly. Can you put your hands together and just, can I hear a good amen? 25 years ago, we gathered with 13 people, and now look at what God has done. We were in a little rundown building where the air conditioner and the heater didn't work, but you know what? When you be faithful to honor God, God always shows up and God always exceeds. And so I want you to know this. One of the reasons I'm so excited about you getting to hear from some of our staff and hear their story is because this. No church and no organization grows and exceeds the limits just based on one person. It's a team of everybody working together. It is absolutely a team. And so today, I'm going to invite our executive pastor, Stephen Cunningham, to come on stage and sit down, and I want you to hear his story and get to know him. So can you put your hands together for your executive pastor, Stephen Cunningham? Sit down there, sunshine.
Go ahead and start. Let's get this out of the way. In the first service, he asked me to give some insight, and I said, a fun fact about me is I've turned a triple play by myself, and he said, in a basketball game?
Yeah, I'm not a sports
guy. Get it out of the way.
I was thinking triple-double. Let me first say, man, we are so thankful for you and your wife, Shani. Man, you guys came on board. We'll talk about that in a minute when you came on staff here and everything that you've done. But I think it's so important that we just state the obvious right up front. Stephen has been a blessing in so many reasons at this church, but the obvious reason is our new facility. Can you put your hands together for everything that he's done? He's dealt with every contractor, every issue, everything. And I say to David Hager and to Connor Rice all the time, can you imagine what this building would look like if we had put this thing together?
We're not done yet.
We're not done yet. Stephen's done a great job with this facility, which I'll just go ahead and let you know. I think if things haven't changed, we're starting in the morning with our expansion over here to give us 250 more seats over here. So be in prayer for Stephen as he deals with all of those contractors and all of that stuff. And so we're thankful for you. We love you. We especially love your wife, Shani. She's so awesome and so sweet. Yeah, I agree with you, buddy, over there. Jennifer and Stephen grew up, went to school together. Shani and I kind of grew up, went to school together. And then 20-something years later, the Lord brings it full circle and brings us all back together over here at Bethel. I'm thankful for you. You take a huge load off of me. When I need something done, I usually go to Stephen and go, Stephen, get this done. And he's OCD. By God, he gets her done. And so I'm thankful for you and appreciate you. And so as we get started, I want the people to know you. I want them to understand that the team and the camaraderie and the relationship that we have around this church. And so First of all, just tell the church a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your family, and a little bit about who you are.
So, yeah, I grew up here in Abilene and just old kind of a gym rat growing up. I loved sports, still love sports. It's on most of the time at our house. And I was always looking for a game, played a lot of basketball and baseball in the streets. Back when you could leave home at 8 or 9 in the morning, as long as you got home, you know, when the lights came on, you were good to go. And so that's what I did. I just love sports, and I'm not a guru when it comes to information, but I can watch any game, and that's just what I love. And Shani's a big sport. Sports Center is usually on at our house, and so. But I went to Abilene High and graduated from there, and went to San Marcos and went to college there, and didn't last very long. Kind of ran off the rails pretty quick. I was a good kid for most of my life. My dad was a cop. My mom was a school nurse, and I didn't break the rules. I was a class president at Abilene High in all my classes and had all the superlatives and stuff and played basketball and baseball, and so I didn't really get in trouble. And got to San Marcos and never made it in my dorm room, and the guys across the hall said, let's go party, and that's what I did for the next 5 months. And then didn't do so well, like I said, in school, so I came back to ACU, and that's really, we talked about this in 9, that's probably the first time Jesus tried to say, here I am, but got to ACU and was very anti-ACU. I never understood why someone would tell you you couldn't drink, couldn't have a good time, their cops would come to the bar and look for our parking stickers, and it just was, I was very anti-ACU, but married Shani in the middle of ACU, and we have two beautiful girls, and they're both married, and we have three grandchildren. Kenzie's our oldest. She's 33 and married to Zach. And then Peyton's 25 and married to Coy. And Peyton and Coy just had our third grandbaby over the holidays, little LJ McMillan. And Kenzie and Zach have Hollis and Banks Pickleman. And they are the absolute joy of our life. So.
Well, congratulations there, Grandpa.
Life changes,
yeah. So, tell us a little bit about what you do here at Bethel, just so that everyone knows. They see you a lot running around, and you're putting in chairs, and you're working with the sound people in the coffee bar and the greeters. Now, tell us what you do, and tell us how long you've been on staff here.
You kind of alluded to it. We laugh about it because my title is executive pastor on websites and everything, but I'm glorified maintenance man. I fix stuff and make sure. Cody said one time we were at coffee, and he said, typically, if I say, man, I saw this or I like that, that means I want it. So I took that little note, and it's not very often that a week goes by where he doesn't say, I really like something. And so I spent a lot of time listening to him and trying to listen to Connor and Cole. Cole's still new here, but, you know, get them garage door openers for the back gate and make sure they have everything they need if they need it. Make sure the sound team, usually for the sound team, some TV's out or something's broke, a speaker's broke, and plumbing, AC. I don't fix any of it. I have no idea how to fix any of it, but I can dang sure call somebody to get it.
Yeah, and which he does call everybody. And I'll tell you, he added some class to this organization. You know, used to when the parking lot was. So on Sunday mornings, I'm usually late getting here because Jennifer has to come to early to worship practice, and I get Clara ready at home, and so I show up late. And so there's been many a time that I parked over there by the Spring Market grocery store because the parking lot was already filled up. And when we redid all this stuff, we built the wall around our campus here. And Stephen said, I got something to show you. And we went around back, and he had an electric garage door opener back there that slides the door open for me. And it says, Cody Preacher Man Parking, right back by my office. So, yeah, he always takes
good care. The rest of us get to park back there, but we got to park in the street.
Yeah, he takes good. He takes great care of me. And so how long have you been on staff here?
I've been staff four or five years. I can't remember. I can't remember how long. It's been, I think, five, because the 2.5 to rebuild was a long, long time. But
yeah,
I've been going. We've been here 6 years.
Yeah.
So it's been an absolute blessing. And
yeah.
And really, really cool, and I'm thankful
that yeah,
I'm in
sure.
this walk.
So it's cool you're here. So tell everybody a little bit. Here's something I want you to tell everybody. Tell everybody something that they might not know about you.
Here we go again. I'm going to say it. We said it at 9 o'clock. Shaney gave me her number. I didn't ask for it.
You got to watch them country girls. They're aggressive. You know what I'm saying?
We were on the elevator. I was working for Hospice of Abilene, and she was working for Hendrick Pharmacy, and we were on the elevator going up to the pharmacy. We'd been flirting for a while, but she just hands me her number. Now, the other side of that, she likes to tell the rest of the story, which is I called her before she ever got home that night. So.
Oh, cool. So, like I said, I knew Shaney growing up, and Jennifer knew you, and I knew that you guys, we've been seeing y'all for years. We've been trying to get you to come to Bethel. And so I knew that you guys were not really Pentecostal believers, hand raisers and all that. And so you finally decide to come to Bethel. So here's a question I want you to answer in front of everybody. What was your first impression when you two walked into Bethel Assembly for the first time?
How good Connor Rice could sing in Anson, Texas. It really was. But I'm still not Pentecostal, I don't think, but we love the word. I'm not a music buff, but I love music. When I hear something, and the worship was incredible the first Sunday, and it's been ever since. But and then you preached the word that you preached was about walking down the middle. You know, you got to choose a side. You can't walk down the middle. And I had been pretty much doing that the majority of my life, so to speak.
Sure. Like so many of us, been walking that line. And so, okay, so you guys come. We invite you. You guys show up, and then you come. And so we're thankful that you're here and what you've done. But tell us a little bit about your life, like growing up. Did you guys go to church? What kind of family did you grow up in?
Yeah,
that way we know your background a little bit.
Yeah, so I really didn't grow up in church, so to speak. I mean, we were the family. We went. I knew Jesus. I believed in Jesus. We were the family that went, you know, two times, and then we would miss six or seven. You know, we'd always go on Easter, we'd always go on Christmas, but I didn't really grow up with some sort of great relationship with Jesus. And a lot of that kind of carried over into my later life that, you know, spiritual life that I, you know, dealing with some demons that I had not taken care of, you know, as I got older. But when I got to ACU, that was really my first introduction to what church is. You know, I was, like I said, I was partying. I was drinking a lot. Tuesday night, we were at Cactus Moon. Thursday night, we were at Ponderosa. And Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we were at somebody's house drinking and having fun. And I was still in school. I got through school, by the way. Only by the grace of God did I get through school somehow. But that was really my first introduction to going to church. And you went to church. All those people that I hung out at ACU with, yes, they party at ACU. It didn't matter how hard we partied on Saturday. We got up and went to church. And I learned that you go to church. That's what you do. And they were all raised that way, a lot of them. And so that was kind of my first introduction to, you know, that spiritual walk and making sure that you got up and you go to church. And you know, obviously, you need to do more than that. But that was my first, you know, like, hey, this is what. Then when I met Shaney, it kind of carried over. Like, she was the spiritual leader of our house for the bulk of our marriage, something I'm not proud of at all. But I didn't know. Like, I just didn't know what a spiritual leader of a house was. Parents really, again, we didn't go to church a ton, so I didn't know what it meant to sit down and pray over supper. I knew it. I mean, we pray at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but you know, I just didn't understand all that. And so we went to church. Our girls, we spent 20 years at Beltway before we came here. And our girls were went through Beltway, and we're thankful for them being over there. And they've had a really good foundation of friends, and I think that kept them honest when it came to drugs and alcohol. And I'm not saying they didn't have hiccups. They're not perfect, but, you know, they've been good kids, and only because of Shaney are they good kids. But I've said this before, and you laughed at me the first time I said it. You know, the most influential person on a child's life is a parent of the same sex. So I'm good. We have two girls. If they go amok, it's because of her. I'm just telling you. But
that's cool.
But they are perfect in every way, and we're
sure.
thankful for them.
So you grew up kind of going to church, knowing a little bit about the Lord, and you kind of, like a lot of us, got to college, the struggles, the issues, the peer pressure, those things. Maybe you went in a direction you weren't supposed to, and you came back to ACU. So what was it when you came back to ACU? You mentioned your girls had this group of friends that kind of helped them stay the course. So when you came back to ACU, what about your group? What about your core friends that you hung around
with? So that
with?
Was kind of my – I tell people that was really – I think Jesus is always trying to have you listen. I think he's always talking to you. He's always saying something to you. Whether or not you're listening is a different story, but – I think that was my first introduction to him trying to reel me in. I was partying and drinking a lot, and he introduced me to a lot of the guys that I now hang around with. But I didn't. We're going when I came to Bethel. So let me back up a little bit. I was at ACU, and when I was there, I disconnected from it. So 20 years later, or 25 years later, I end up at Bethel. And God has now put them here at church, so they show up here at church. And they were here this morning. They are the core guys I run around with. They are my circle. And that was the third time that Jesus tried to say, here I am. You know, I said also in the first service that relationships are not 50-50. They're 100-100. And Jesus is all the way there with, you know, he was in my face. He did it at ACU. He did it when he introduced me to my wife. And then 25, 30 years later, when I come back here, he puts ACU guys that were there when I was there in my life, and that's who I run with. But in that meantime in my marriage, I was a bad guy. I was a mean guy. And when I say mean, I could cut you with my tongue. I wasn't a physical guy. I wasn't a physical presence, but I was mean to my wife and my kids. I wasn't a bad dad. I was present. I was at games. I was there for them. But when Shaney and I would fight, or when the girls were, when I was scolding them, I would cut, and I would cut deep. I would rather be right than happy, just for the record. And I was dealing with some demons that I had not dealt with throughout my life. So this is up 38 or 39 or 40. We're in a pretty bad place in our marriage. She's pretty unhappy just because listen, it doesn't have to be the worst of the worst. You don't realize how bad a tongue can cut. And I just said to her, she said one day, why are you so angry? And I said, because my brother had molested me from the time that I was about 9 or 10 to the time I was about 13 or 14. He was a physical presence in my life. He was a terrifying guy. He was mean. He put holes in walls. And when my parents, like a lot of our parents, would go dancing in the day, he would say to me, they're going to leave again. And that's what I lived with for 4 or 5 years. And so I never dealt with that. So when I got married, there was this anger that I had not, you know, I was angry, I was mad, was frustrated, why did it happen to me? And I took all of that. I thought, you know, when Shaney and I would fight, I would say, well, that's the way my family fought. My dad fought that way with my mom, and my brother screamed and hollered. I just thought that's what you did. I didn't know how to sit down and have a conversation. So until I dealt with what was really going on inside of me, which was this anger and this fear, and I wasn't going to let anybody else hurt me. You weren't going to get me. I used to say, I'm not going to get God again. That was the way I lived my life, and that included my wife, and for sure any of you guys. I kept everybody at arm's length, and so I hadn't dealt with that, and that was right before we got to Bethel, we were really in a bad, bad place with me. I was, you know, 99% of our arguments are because of me, not because of her. And I finally went to counseling. And by the way, it's one of the most incredible things you can do. Like, it is, go to a Christian counselor, by the way. But that's when I started to learn about the issues that I hadn't dealt with. And my counselor used to say, about the first three or four times, he would say that the brain is as dumb as the kidney. And I never understood that. Like, three sessions, he says this. About the fourth session, I said, look, you're going to tell me what, I don't know what that means. Like, I don't get it. And he said that when you have that kind of damage in your life, that your brain is hardwired to deal with that damage the way that it deals with it. And for me, it was to go into protective mode. The kidney functions out of normalcy, right? It's a filter. That's just what it does. It doesn't have to be told what to do. It doesn't have to be asked what to do. When you have that kind of damage and that hurt, that's the way your brain reacts. And so I was constantly in protective mode. So when we would fight, it was not my wife. It was somebody else that I wasn't going to let get inside of me. And I was just a mean, mean guy. Mm-hmm. And I hated that. I hated that about me, but I didn't know how to fix it. And so
sure.
When I finally went, when we were at Beltway and we kind of got in our own, we weren't really feeding anymore. The girls had graduated. They had moved on to college, and it was just me and Mom. And we had not really, we'd been going, but we felt like we were just going through the motions of church. And one morning we got up, and I just said, let's just go to Bethel. Cody and Tubby had asked us for years, but my wife would say, I ain't going to no Holy Roller Church. I ain't doing it. So. And what a blessing it was. And I said it also at 9, but Bethel was the right church at the right time for us. And it still is. And this is my last season. We talk about seasons, and we know there's spiritual seasons, but this is my last season when it comes to loving my wife like Jesus loved the church. I'm in.
Yeah.
And I was in. I loved my wife, but... And maybe some of you see that kind of side of people at times. It's not fun. You don't like it. It's like an alcoholic. You act that way, and then you say, I'll never do it again. And so I would be mean, and I would say hurtful things, and I would cut her. And then when we would finally get through it, we would both be just, she would be exhausted, bless her heart. I mean, my goodness, because I was cutting so hard and so deep. I would go, why do you do that? Just like an alcoholic, just like anybody with an addiction issue.
Sure.
You know, and so for me, it was a verbal abuse. You know, I hurt her.
Sure.
And by the grace of God, she's still here. And I'm so incredibly thankful for her grace and her mercy and her love and just everything that she stands for. She's the closest thing to Jesus that I know. I promise you that.
Well, that's awesome. And so I think we can all say that about our wives. All of us men can say we're better because of them. And so you grew up, you kind of went to church a little bit, knew about Christ, went to college straight a little bit, came back to ACU, and then you found this core group of friends, man, these guys that really were influencing towards you, and they helped you get back on track. And so I think that's something that we can all need to take note of, that it matters who you hang around with, and it also matters the example that you set for the people that you're with.
Right. And I'm glad you're going back to that. When I came here, some of those guys, again, I mentioned that earlier, that were at ACU, and I kind of in that window when I was, when the girls were in school and we were traveling sports in Dallas and all of the things we were doing, I was playing a lot of golf. I was playing golf 4 or 5 days a week. I was running with some guys. They weren't bad guys. They just weren't guys that were dialed into Jesus. They didn't care about going to church on Sundays. How late could we party and play golf and find the next, you know, country club dance to go to and hang out at? And we'd do it again Sunday afternoon for football if we wanted to. And so when I got here and those guys that were at ACU, like I said, I think God tried to get me right at when he got me to ACU, and I pushed back. He introduced me to Shaney, married her, and I still push back on her. And then finally I get here, and here they are again. I'm like, what the heck? Like, this is – and I was in a bad place too. And now I surround my – those are the guys I run with. And I'll tell you a little story. I didn't tell this to the 9. This was – and I've told you this one. This was really cool. We go skiing. There's a group, that group of guys, we go skiing once a year, and we go on a golf trip to Lajitas. And there's about 15 or 16 of us that go to Lajitas to play golf, and we just got back in December. And we usually eat one night, we cook one night as a group, and then the next night we go over to their restaurant, and we eat over there. And we're sitting there, and the food all comes out, and I don't remember who said it. Somebody said, hey, somebody bless the food. So there's about three or four other couples in there, and so we pray over our food. Well, the next day we're almost done, and there's a place where these paths cross with some other golfers, and this couple comes by, and they're like, hey, were y'all with the big group the other, last night? And we're like, and one of my buddies that was here in the first service goes, yeah, were we wild? Did we do something wrong? And she goes, no. What a cool blessing it is to see a bunch of grown men pray over their food in the middle of a restaurant. And I didn't have that growing up, in the biggest part of my marriage. You know, I would have thought that was goofy at one time in my life. So
sure.
That, you know, who you surround yourself matters. And I just didn't put myself around good people. Again, they weren't bad people. They just weren't people that walked the right way and where I needed to be, especially with what I was trying to deal with.
Sure. And so what I love about what you've said today so far is that God is always speaking. God's always, and he's wanting us to listen to him. He was speaking to you when you were younger, speaking to you at college, speaking to you when he called you over here. And how cool is it that God brings things full circle and he goes before us and he prepares a way. And he took these friends, they were a good example for you. And then 25 years later, you guys, they show up here at Bethel and then you guys show up at Bethel. And now God is strengthening you guys to walk out this life and this ministry of bringing glory to God. And
it's not a coincidence.
No, it's not a coincidence. It's only God. So thankful for that. So let's talk just a little bit about how you shared, and I know it had to be hard to share, that your brother had sexually abused you when you were a young man for 4 or 5 years, and that there's this anger that was inside of you. And I think if we're all being real honest, at times we have this anger that we struggle with, this thing that was with inside of us, and it caused you. The rage came out in you to be mean and to be ugly and to be hateful to your wife and to your girls and all that stuff. So tell us, like, how did you overcome that? You said the brain is as dumb as the kidney. How were you able to overcome this anger and this emotion that always dictated the way that you responded? How were you able to overcome that?
Well, I think the biggest one was just fear of losing my family. I mean, that was a huge fear of mine. And I think Shani, said it at one point, you know, she's like, you know, whether or not she's as faithful as they come, but she's just like, you know, you're going to show up one of these days and we ain't going to be here. And I was terrified. And I had hurt her and I'd hurt the girls. And when I went to counseling and finally started understanding why I was the way I was, it was the beginning of figuring out why I'm that way and how do I change that. And I believe that you can't just do it through counseling. You have to do it through the Word of God.
Amen, brother.
And you have to be in a church that supports what you're trying. I mean, every church is trying to, but like I said a while ago, Bethel was the right church at the right time for me. And just seeing you guys and being around you guys and understanding that struggle's real and it's okay. And just when you're walking every single day with Him, it really changes. I couldn't have just gone through counseling and got better. I had to be in the Word with people that were God-fearing people that love Jesus. And I could, those guys I talked about that go to 9 o'clock, there was a bunch of them here this morning. You know, watching those guys in the sales, where I was in sales for 26 years, I kind of skipped over what Shani and I do, but when we were at meetings, we used to say, we want to see what good looks like. And those guys showed me that every day. So I didn't love my wife like Jesus loved the church. I just didn't. And so I get to see that from those guys. And being out here got me there. And I'm so thankful again for that.
Sure. So you realize, okay, here's my anger. Here's where my anger stemmed from. And how do you overcome that? Do you rewire your brain? Do you transform your mind? How do you overcome the struggles for the people that are out there that maybe struggle with that? Like allude to it a little bit. How do you overcome that? How do you get past the anger and the rage and the sharp tongue and the I'm holding you at bay? How do you learn to let people in and think differently?
Well, I mean, again, the counseling is the beginning part. You've got to understand why you're where you are. For me, it was understanding what he used to say, you get your sword out. And I still struggle with it. Don't get me wrong. It still flares up from time to time. I'm way better at stopping it, but he used to call it, you can't get your sword out. I was a get your sword out guy. The minute somebody says something to me, I've got my sword out and I'm going to cut you. Don't come any closer because I'm going to say something to hurt you. And I was doing it to everybody. So I had to learn, first of all, to put that sword up. And then I had to learn to let people in. and let people in that were authentic and real, and that's what I loved about Bethel. And I had to let, and I had to believe in my relationship with my wife. I had to believe in the relationship with Jesus. I had to believe that everybody was on my team. And rewiring yourself again is hard to do. Like if you've been there, you understand. You do that. But for me, it was stopping that sword. That was the first thing I had to do. Quit getting it out and quit cutting people.
Sure.
Especially your family. Isn't it crazy? We hurt the people we love the most. It's so wild. Like,
sure.
It makes no sense. Like, you'll be nice and kind to all the guys you work with and run around with, and then you go home and you're the meanest to the people you love the most and that are closest to you. It makes no sense. And that was something else I had to tell. Like, why would I do that to them? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get
sure.
it. So for me, it was starting to put the sword away. And you and I have visited about this. I don't deliver things well at all. I'm awful at it. Even when I'm being funny, sometimes it comes across like I'm being a jerk. I'm just not good at it. Sometimes I just need to keep my mouth shut. I don't know why I don't. But, you know, we talk about, I've told Shaney this too. You know, we have a lot of fun on Mondays around here, and there's a lot of goating each other and cutting up. And sometimes I just take myself out of it because I can't deliver it the right way. Even though I know I'm just being funny, it just comes across crappy.
Sure.
So I had to learn to be kind, say nice things. And, you know, again, not that I didn't tell my wife I loved her our whole life. And, again, I was present with my kids, but, you know, just being a nice guy. And I don't think I heard that there's a thing on ESPN called the Book of Mannings, and Arch Manning, the dad, said, I just want people just think I'm a good guy and I'm okay. And I don't think a lot of people thought I was a good guy.
Yeah.
And I want to be a good guy.
Well, and it's cool because we've got to see it in your life too, just watch you grow and to watch you trust me and trust us and to put your sword down. And I really think it's just scripture. It's Romans 12:2. You know what I mean? It's like Stephen was hurt. He was abused. He was mistreated. Like, why did this happen to me? But he had to learn. His learned response had to be, you know what, I'm not going to be conformed to the ways of this world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to put my sword down. I'm going to renew my mind, and I'm going to trust people and love God and love others and live life with passion, if you will. And so,
I knew he had a script. You know, that was the other thing, getting into the word you're talking about, that understanding that script was written, that he had a purpose for me. I just chose not to find it until now.
Sure.
And slow learner. I told you that too when you hired
yeah,
me.
No. So on that note though, let's talk about this for a minute. So, did you ever see yourself on staff at a church somewhere? Did you ever see yourself serving the Lord and having some sort of ministry and being anybody other than this guy that's just angry and mad and sharp? And did you ever see God using you in the capacity that he's using you in?
No, not absolutely not. And Shaney did a podcast and said that, like, she never believed in a million years I'd be on a church staff, nor did I. When I took this job, or before I took this job, when Cody, there was a Sunday where Mom and I had been up, we kind of looked, Cody had mentioned Troy Cooper was stepping down. I didn't know Troy was stepping down. Cody had said they were going to be looking for some people to, you know, be praying about it as a church. And I remember just telling Shaney that day, I'm like, I think we're ready. Like, we're ready to get connected. Like, we were greeting with Farnsworth, which was awesome. And so I remember walking up to you over in the old building and just saying, hey, Shaney and I are all in. And so I didn't realize it was going to be for this. And boy, were we all in for a building tear down and everything else. But one of my mentors, again, one of the guys that comes to the 9 o'clock service that from ACU, and I went to have coffee with him about it because I didn't feel like I was worthy of it. Like, mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like, you know, you feel like that you, because of the way you are, you're not worthy of doing a job for Christ. Like, you just don't. I mean, I'm like, me? Sure. I'm not worthy of it. And I remember going to coffee with him and him saying, that's exactly why you are worthy of it. Because someone that thinks that they should have the job will never do it the way that it should be done. And I think that that's why you're the perfect guy for the job. So then I came back and told you that. So, yeah, I never thought I'd be on staff at all.
Sure.
Working for.
So humility is a great thing. And so what makes us all a candidate for being used by God is not our performance, not our ability, not our education, not our spirituality. It's when we're humble and we go, you know what, I'm not worthy, but by the blood of the Lamb, I am made worthy. And God, here I am. use me for whatever you want. So let's address that as we start to wind stuff down. Like for the people that are sitting out there today, that are maybe they're like you, maybe they're business owners, maybe they're just employees, maybe they have had a rough past, they've been abused. What would you say to them if they're feeling, they're listening to God? Like you said, God's always speaking. What if they're listening to God and God is saying to them, take the next step? God is saying, I want to use you. And they're feeling unworthy and they're feeling condemned. So how would you encourage the people out there to say yes to the next level to where God is calling them to be?
I think the biggest thing is, we laugh about this because some of you guys that want to be part, you want us to come ask you and invite you in to be a volunteer to help with the church. And I would say some of that responsibility falls on you. And that was kind of like Shaney and I. We were at Beltway for 20 years and never did anything we volunteered, did some greeting and stuff. But I think it falls on us to get in and be engaged in church. And we came to you and that responsibility said, hey, we didn't know it was going to be executive pastor, but we were all in. And I think you have to overcome maybe that fear of you're not worthy of, Cody preached on this. He's preached on this several times. Like people still say, Cody Cochran's a preacher. I'm not making fun of you. I've heard you pray on it. But some of you are worried that you're not worthy because maybe of what's going on in your life, and you've got to dive into the Word, and you've got to be a part of the church. You got to want to be there. And I think I wanted to for a long time. I just never did. And so I think some of the responsibility does. You can't get it in 1 hour in a 30-minute. Session with Cody every Sunday morning. Some of it falls on you. And again, it goes back to surrounding yourself with the right people. And maybe it's just the people at this church. But here's the thing, what I did learn too from doing that and surrounding myself with good people, I found out you can still have a good time. It's okay. Like you used to preach about pals. You got to have your pals.
Mm-hmm.
So, the responsibility lies with you guys sometimes. Come be a part of it. Again, you can't get it in a 1 hour session with Connor and you every Sunday morning.
So I think your whole story is a story of God exceeding, doing crazy and mighty things that you never believed, that you never dreamt. And it started with a good group of friends. It started with humility of going, I'm not worthy, but I'm willing to say yes, and saying yes and stepping up. And I think God has grown you guys as a family, has grown this church because you guys are here, has grown us all because of those reasons right there. And so I just want to say this in closing, that I am very, very thankful for you, that we couldn't do what we do, that I couldn't do what I do without you. And I'm thankful that you were driven to the cross, you were washed in the blood, and you were filled, whether you think you're Pentecostal or not, you were filled with the Spirit of God to give you the power to say yes to do what God has asked you to do. And I think in the end of the day, this scripture right here says it all for your life and for my life and for what God's doing at this church. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine, according to his power that works in us.
Yes, and before I leave, and I said it in the first one, I know you're going to say yes to Tubby too, but I love you, and I would not be here without you, and I'm so thankful for you in my life, and thank you for your love, again, and your grace and your mercy, and sticking it out with me each and every day that we've been through.
Amen. Come on, y'all, put your hands together and give Stephen some love. Conrad. So why don't you just stay standing? We're going to close with a song of worship. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And we're just going to pray and finish out with worship. And so, Father, we thank you so much for today, and we thank you so much for this place. This place is not perfect, Lord, but we thank you that your word tells us that you choose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And so, God, none of us are worthy to be here today, but God, because of our faith in you and because of the blood of your only begotten Son, we are made worthy, Lord. And so we thank you for Stephen. We thank you for his testimony, Lord. We thank you for the courage and the boldness that he had to stand up here and share some very, very very painful things, Lord. And Lord, we just know and we can see that you're not a respecter of persons. And if Stephen has been through some pain, and if Stephen has been through some sexual abuse and some physical abuse, and Lord, you have healed him through that all, Lord, that gives us all hope to know that you can heal every one of us of whatever hurts us or whatever pains us or whatever that has slowed us down in our lives. And so today, God, we just pray for the precious blood of the Lamb, the blood of the only begotten Son of God. We pray, Lord, that the blood would flow in this place, Lord. We pray for healing, and we pray for forgiveness, Lord. We pray for the ones who have been abused. We pray for the ones who have been mistreated. Lord, we pray right now that your blood would wash over them and would forgive them of every bit of shame and every bit of condemnation that they're feeling in their life, Lord, that you would take away their hard heart, and Lord, you would give them a new heart, a heart that is healed and a heart that is made whole. Lord, I pray for the people in this room maybe that have been the abuser. I pray for the men and women that have done things and said things that were harmful and hurtful to others. Lord, I pray for them just as well, that your blood would flow over them and would forgive them, Lord, and no longer would they feel like they are unworthy, or no longer would they feel condemnation. Lord, I pray you would give them a new heart as well, Lord, as you give us all new hearts, Lord. Lord, we don't want to deal with anger anymore. We don't want to deal with rage anymore. We don't want to be the person that lashes out and treats everybody harshly around us and holds everyone at bay. Lord, we want to be full of relationship and full of love and full of joy and forgiveness. So, Lord, I pray today as you give us new hearts, as you soften our hearts, Lord, that hope would begin to arise within us, that all of a sudden, God, we would go, you know what? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that makes me worthy. Lord, I pray for some of us that have been walking down that middle road and we just wouldn't say yes, and we wouldn't step all the way in. Lord, I pray today that we would go 100% all in with you, that we would be committed. We would give our passion and give our everything to bring glory to your name, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would begin to understand the power of the influence that we have. I pray that we would begin to understand of the example that we set for our friends and for our spouses and for our children. Lord, we would feel that heaviness of, Lord, I got to walk this thing out, and I got to honor you because there's people that are following me and there's people that are watching my example. And so I just pray today for a complete and an absolute healing in every one of our lives, in our marriages, in our relationship, in our past. Lord, I just trust you and I believe your word. Your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word, Lord, sets us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I pray for some people in this room today that the chains would fall off, the chains of bondage, the chains of addiction, the chains of anger, the chains of lashing out, the chains of past pain, that it would be gone right now, washed away, that the yoke is broken by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would have new hearts and we would leave here with our heads lifted up. We would leave here with new creations in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray you would give us the power in the morning, when we wake up in the morning and when we get aggravated and when we get frustrated, Lord, that we wouldn't return to our old anger and we wouldn't return to our old defense mechanisms. Lord, I pray that we would renew our minds, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we would take on the mind of Jesus Christ, that we would renew our minds, that we would change the way we think, that we would change the way that we would react. Lord, we love you and we trust you, and we say thank you for where you have brought us from. Lord, you have been better to us than we have been to ourselves. Lord, you have shown yourself exceedingly great and mighty in our lives. But Lord, let us know that you are not through with us yet. There is another step. There is another way. There is another level. And so, Lord, let us continue to be humble. Let us continue not to count on our performance. Let us continue not to count on our own wisdom and intellect. Lord, let us lean on you. Let us bow down at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And in our humility, Lord, I pray that you would raise us up to the next level in families, in marriages, in relationships, and most of all, in our spiritual journey as honoring you. Speak to us, Lord. Challenge us as we close today. Let us leave here changed by the power of the testimony and by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.